right here is your place.
You're around at two chairs here.
You sit right here where your juice is.
I'll get you some juice.
Well, did I hear somebody?
Yes. Now, I tell you guys, she saw that wagon out there.
We had family here, Miss Davis.
So you've got a family here?
We have had.
And we had to have some more chairs.
But what?
Faye's family have been down here. You know, they come down to see you.
Her sister come over.
Yeah.
To see me the other evening. Her and her husband. That's the first time I've seen her husband.
That's right. We had to have some extra chairs. That old wagon looked like something you ever seen before.
Yes, sir. Miss Myers was asking me had I ever seen anything like that. I told her yes, ma'am. And so I rode and worn them many times.
Many times.
I said, that's the way we used to have to travel, in a buggy, in a wagon.
Yeah.
She said, well, where did you go in? I said, well, we had to go. That's where we went, where we went in.
Sure.
Go to town, church, anywhere in that wagon. And we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Load that wagon up when we have a good time.
Good time. As long as it was good riding as long as it's on the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you told me.
It wasn't nothing right to be on but dirt. Yeah. There wasn't no hard roads. No. We didn't have no cement roads. We didn't have nothing but dirt roads.
You didn't have to worry about dirt. About old cement roads.
Yeah. It didn't have many wrecks, neither.
Oh.
So it looks like we're going to have a rainy day.
Oh, it does.
We had a good little shower yesterday evening. It didn't last long.
That night, I thought we might get a little more.
I think so, too.
You know, this wagon just has flats across it to sit on.
Mm-hmm. Some of them back there sometimes. We have bulge, but some of them, lots of them have about two or three spring seats. It has spring seats. Mm-hmm. And we sit up there. And if we was going to town, all of us put our groceries back there. That's what we thought. Here yours, here mine, here hers.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know what we had. And you know, we liked it like that. We liked it riding the wagon. All wood in it, all folks in it, all groceries in it. There wasn't so much expenses either. You know, back there, they had a lot of blacksmiths fix wagons, shoes, horses, and take care of stock, and things like that. Didn't cost me.
No. And you knew the blacksmith, and yeah, when you went to get him to work on your wagon, you could have a little visit with him.
That's right. And it didn't cost you much.
A wheel, you know, you've seen them old wheels, they board them up. If they lose a spoke or else the rim of it gets a little loose,
Yes.
They'll just put a board across it, wire across it or something. You seen that?
Yes, sure. Yes, I've seen it. Them was good old days. To me, I think about it now. We didn't have so many sick folks back then. Folks wasn't sick way back then much. But now everybody mostly sick. There's something wrong with it.
Your family got along all right, play on up, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Your children and your
sister
and parents?
They, I never had, now my oldest boy, he went to the doctor, he was 21, the first doctor he ever see. My daughter, she was about 16. And she went to the doctor. She had to go to the hospital with her first child. My baby, I carried him to the doctor. He had a rising on his neck here. So Dr. Rosenberg, over there, I believe that's what it is. I carried my baby. He said, well, I don't see nothing to do for it. But lances, I said, no, sir. I said, I don't want it cut. I said, not yet. I said, it's not right. And I don't want it cut. I said, you may have to cut it. I said, well, not this moment. So he said, well, if you don't want it cut, there's nothing else I can do. What I said, I'm thinking. I carried my baby on back home. Worked on it myself. I had some old sage that I had bought from an Indian, and I carried my baby back home, and I put that stuff on it. I thought about it. He told me it was good for things like that. I said, well, this is the best chance for me to try. And I just grease it all around. All fuzzy went. It come from up here down to there. I never see nothing like it. So I carried him back on Tuesday. So I worked on him and worried with him. Me and him set up night after night. He couldn't sleep and I couldn't sleep. So I'd sit there and hold him and try to cook him. So that Saturday night, he seemed to rest good after midnight. Now I got up that Sunday morning, he was still asleep. I'd go down and peep at him. About 9 o'clock, I went back there to see him. That thing had busted from him. Now it's just like he would have cut it, it cut itself. And all that stuff done run out in the bed. It looked like more than a teacup full. But I didn't care. After that, he had no more. And had no more trouble with it. They didn't have no. My children wasn't sick. Ain't had no doctor deal for my children.
I can remember all them risings we had on us then,
yes,
on our neck and on our.
Yes, some folks had them.
See?
I've seen folks have them all on the legs,
yeah.
On the knees, and around just all over our
hands. Yeah.
It was just one of my children had them things. And that was my baby he had there. And then way long after then, he had a stone bruise on his feet. Oh, that was another bad thing. But I didn't came to the doctor because I thought he wanted to cut it. I worked on it with the same thing I worked on this one. He killed it, and that was all over. I guess he was about 8 years old then. I never had nothing, but now they carry a child doctor to stick a splint in his face.
How'd that stone bruise behave, Miss Davis?
It just swell up and just blew.
Yeah, and so
painful, my love. My baby cried and cried night after night.
Yeah.
But if you work on it, it'll come to a head in about 8 days.
Oh, they come to a head.
Yes, they'll come to a head if you work on it. And they'll open this thing.
What's that?
They'll come to the head.
Yeah.
If you got something to put on it.
Yeah.
Like that say, it'll draw it to a head and omit it itself.
I see.
And then you don't have no more trouble. But lots of times I've seen folks have lamps rising or boiled or something. Well, it'll heal up here and then it'll break out over there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You seen that?
The old folks said, old midwives would see me. That's where I got my learning from. They was good as the doctor or better.
Yeah.
And they say they didn't get the seed from this one, and they just cut it and let it run some, but the seed was still there. It was just like a tree sprout. It'll break out over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they had a lot of experience with them, hadn't they?
Yes, sir. Yes. They did. That's all I had with my children, a midwife. Doctor didn't know I had no children. But they got to go now. From the time they's pregnant until he's born.
Just keep it going.
Keep it going. And he keep it telling them to come back.
Mm-hmm. How often did the midwife see you?
Well, mine, they always live close to them, you know. Like the distance from here to my house. I see them about every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Did they know something about things other than babies? They knew how to cure things.
Yes, ma'am. They know how to take care of babies and what to do for them, of course.
Oh, that's right.
They then would tell you how to raise that baby and what not to do to that baby. At that time, you could go to the drugstore and get olive oil. That's what they would grease the baby in. All over every morning when you raise that baby, you grease it with that. Feed him and put him down. He was there all the time, most until noon. He'd get him bathed and settled about 9:30. He'd never wake up once. Never witness it. When he wake up, you do what you want to do to him and put him back there. When he wake up the next time, feed him. Put him back. No. I told him, glad I'm too. Because I couldn't stand the price it costs it now.
Well, all the trouble. Now, that way, the baby wasn't much trouble.
No, she wasn't much trouble. No, sir. My children weren't no trouble. I get them up when they wake up and pin them in the morning. Sometimes I'd be done cook my dinner, and it was sometimes he'd stay there till after 1 o'clock. I put him back there about 9:30. He'd sleep right there till sometime 1 o'clock. If it was my wash day, I'd have all my washing out, just about.
Uh-huh.
I'd go in there once in a while, look at him, he's still resting. I said, rest on.
Well, now, was Frances Presley a midwife?
Yes, ma'am, and a good one.
Oh, she was.
She was. Now, she took care of Doris as long as she was able. Yes, Frances was a good one. And talking all the time.
Mm-hmm. And she took care of Doris?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. She took care of Doris as long as she was able, you see. Well, when she gave out, she had a daughter. She had trained her. She would take her around. I don't know if it was her oldest daughter, but I believe it was. Take her around with her. And she's a good. She was good.
Oh.
She took her.
When she wasn't able to do all the work herself, she'd have a daughter with her.
Yes, sir. She has a daughter. And when she give out, Linda Bold fixed her daughter, give her license, you see, in Francis' place. And then she could go. You know, they couldn't go see him without license. No, so they'd have to have their license.
Oh.
Even in those days?
Even yes, long I'm time talking ago. About when, no. Frances was taking care of Doris.
Uh-huh.
That was, yeah. Didn't have nothing. When they was taking care of me, they could just go on. They didn't have to see no doctor, no nothing. And they just knowed and they would just go. And you said, I'm all right.
Well, now, where did you learn about that stone bruise, Miss Daisy?
Well, I had seen folks like that, and they told me that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was wrong with his feet. That stone bruise or something. Well, I hadn't forgot. You know, Mr. Mile, I used to watch things. That's the way I learned how to do what I do. I'd be around different folks and see them doing different things. I'm going to try it, see how to do it. You see, back there, some of them did, I guess, but mine, my mother didn't. My mother was a woman like this. She thought she could do things better than you or anybody else. But all my mother taught us to do, make preparations. If she was going to wash, we get up the water. Get all the water, get all the wood. You know, we had torch wood then. Go back down to the woods and get it. When we got that, that's far as we went with that washing. When time to iron, then my daddy had the wood already there. She'd iron. We rake yards and do little things like that, but other things. Her cooking, she done it. Her cooking. Nobody but her. But I was watching to see how she do it. When I got old enough to cook and got married, I hadn't forgot it all. I remembered some of it. Then, after then, I'd be around food. I'd watch and see how they fix cake, 160 pies, go about 8 pies and things. I said, someday I won't fix me one. I messed up time or two, but I kept on till I got it where they could eat it.
What did you mess up on, Miss Daisy?
Cake.
Oh, really?
What was you trying to make?
Huh? I was just trying to bake me a cake, and they say I had it too rich and too sweet. Oh, it rose up high and put it in the field, it was flat. And didn't get up no more.
How kind of cake was it?
So I was telling someone about it. I said, Daisy, you had the cake too sweet. Why didn't you ask nobody? I said, I didn't want to ask nobody. This is my sugar and my butter, my eggs. If I mess it up, I messed up mine. And nothing beat a trial but a fake. I said, I've heard that all my life. I said, I'm going to try it again. And I did.
Now, what was that?
I said, somebody told me I should ask somebody to help me. I told them I didn't want nobody to help me. I want to learn myself. And old Sam True One bought wits better than any you can get if you paid for it. Well, that's the way I had to pay for mine, messing up from time to time.
Well, what was that other one about the trial? What was that other saying about the trial?
Trial. Others said nothing beats a trial but a failure.
Yeah.
If you don't try, you can't fail.
And with your eggs and your sugar and...
My butter.
My butter.
Well, nobody.
Now that's back up the country.
Mm-hmm.
Before you ever thought about...
That was way back up there where I was born. Way up there in Jones County.
But you all had a lot of good things up there.
Yes, well, we did. We had lots of good things. Then we raised a lot. Well, we raised the more stuff. We get off the farm. Most of it. We had to buy things like sugar and coffee and stuff like that. They grits and they grind their meal, get grind, have their grits grind.
Yeah.
And they were good.
And your mama, she was a lively.
Yes, sir. Smart. Mama was smart.
Yeah.
She liked to do things. Piece quilts, quilts, and do things like that.
She
never learned to crochet or make tatting or trimming or nothing like that. But she just learned to sew. That's something I never could learn either, to crochet. And I seen some of the prettiest work like that. And just wished I could do something like that. But I couldn't do that.
You all was sort of giddy there a whole lot of the time, Miss Daisy and Gabby and you couldn't stay at home, you had to go out to all the parties and everything.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, parties then, Mr. Myers, they didn't have them like they do now.
No.
If they was going to have a party, would be at my house or some of the neighbor's house, you see.
Yeah.
That's what. Didn't have no jokes and things like that.
Oh, no.
And we'd have a nice time in our way. You see. We'd do our kind of dancing. We'd have a man called Seth. We danced four hands. Some of them danced eight hands, but I never did. That's eight hands.
Mm-hmm. That's what?
Four hands.
Four hands?
I danced four hands. But some of them danced eight hands, and then they could dance four hands, too.
How do you dance four hands?
Man.
How do you dance four hands?
Well, you have your partner. I have mine. Mm-hmm. Two more have that. They call that a four hand set.
Oh.
You have a man called sets. My daddy used to call sets from the dance bar. And whoever was having a party did have things to sell, you see, like pies. Sometimes they'd have chicken, sometimes it'd be chicken and rice. That's what we call it. Canned, first one thing, another like that. But you didn't hear nobody fussing or nobody shooting nobody, or nobody getting cut. Mm-hmm. We just had it quiet back there.
And what did they do with the money when they sold it?
When they sold it, they put it in their pocket.
They didn't put it, it wasn't a collection for the church or nothing like that.
It was working for itself. It wasn't working for the church.
Well, how much did they charge you, Miss Davy, for a piece of pie?
To buy? Well, different prices depend on how much of it you want.
Nickel?
What you'd have to pay for. No, he didn't go below a dime.
Yeah. So that paid the expenses?
Yes.
That way.
Like that.
Also, you got your refreshments.
That's right. They paid, it helped them, and it helped us. We went what had cooked, we buy it. Or you could buy as much of it as you want.
Oh, they had chicken and
some
deed.
Chickens, pies, and then sometime, and they make good off that. They bake a big old pound cake. They put a 50 cents in the cake. They charge you a quarter to cut it. Well, if you were lucky, you'd cut a slice out and hit it have the money in it. And that was your money. Well, you got paid.
Uh-huh. If you that was fun.
Yeah. I thought that was lots of fun. Let's cut a cake. You cut it wherever you want to.
You cut it yourself.
Cut it yourself.
Yeah.
Cut it as big. If you wasn't going to cut it too big, you could cut slices about 8 inches thick. But that would cost you a quarter.
Yeah.
But if you wanted the dime slice, well, that was very thin. I don't expect it would hold the money if you got it. Well, now you see, they didn't make good like that. Sometimes that whole cake was cut, all but a heavy slice. And now look at the quarters they done got, the dimes they done got out of that one cake.
Yeah.
Last one cut. When he get the money, he's through cutting. Well, whatever cake was left, if somebody wanted it, well, then they'd sell it. Because you done got all you pulled to get. Well, now what you left, well, they'd sell that kit. 5 cents or 10 cents or ever how much you want. Sometimes, some folks would buy the whole piece, what was left. But it never run over 50 cents. Because it's all been cut off. But they did that.
And then they take that home.
Take that home. I don't think I ever got nothing out of him but once. I think I got a quarter one time.
Well, now the men, the boys, they had a big time.
Yes, sir, they'd have a big time. Well, you see, men and women, they would cut this cake. It was fun to cut it. Yeah, you pay so much, and you cut such a slice.
Now that was for the children,
for the
young
two.
People.
No, that was for us.
And that's the grown-ups too.
That was grown. That go with the party.
Yeah.
You see.
But not that the party was for the grown people.
Yes, sir.
But
no children's allowed.
No young people there.
No, not too young. Not like now.
No
all
children.
Man.
No children.
No children.
Uh-huh.
Just grown ups.
Well, you was grown up at 15 then.
But they didn't go to parties then.
At 15?
At 15. They didn't go to parties then.
Well, what'd they do?
They didn't go to the ones we'd give, and there wasn't no jokes. So they just stay home. Well, if we wanted to have them a party, we'd have them a party at home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we wasn't nothing on that party but just to help the children. They didn't mix up like they do now.
Well, what I was thinking about, the boys had the men.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was that just the young people that had those? The old
his
people?
Parties.
Uh-huh.
These parties. Yes, we would have parties just for the children.
No,
people.
I mean the ones that you had there for the grown people. Now that would be for you and for your mama and all of you.
Well, we were nothing concerned but just assist the children. Whatever the children got out of it was
inside.
Children.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the children, though. I'm talking about after you was grown and you had the party.
Yeah.
Then your mama was there, too.
My mother? Yes, so she was there.
All the grown people were there.
All grown up was there.
Yeah.
For the party. But now, like my mother, she was there at her age. Well, they didn't do nothing. They just sit down and watch out.
Oh, I see.
No, they didn't dance. They didn't do nothing. They just sit down and watch out. See how we carry on.
Who was your partner then, Miss Davy?
First one, then the other one.
Granddaddy hadn't come along then?
Mm-mm. I didn't know nothing about Granddaddy then.
Hey, we was riding down there in the take some hay out to the cows, and over on that side of the swamp, I didn't mow that all last summer.
You didn't mow it.
Uh huh. I just didn't get on there. I let it grow up, that old dog fennel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when that dog fennel grows up and goes seed.
Oh yes.
Now that's what's making her. She got it in her head.
Mm-hmm.
It acts like coal she got so much. It never did bother me, but it bothers Faye. And
yes.
It was just in a great cloud of it, you see, the tractor going right through it, and knocking it down and all that stuff flying. Why, there's enough dog fennel seed there to last this whole end of the county.
You know, I'm still blowing it out of my nose.
Yeah.
Still blowing it out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was fun to us, man.
Did you have it out in the yard?
Sometimes we have it out in the yard. But most time we'd be in the house. You know, back then they built hardly big rooms. They had big rooms. We'd have plenty of room for it.
Well, that's right. Just move the furniture out.
That's right.
Granddaddy always liked to party.
Well, I didn't know him then. I didn't know him. When we was having all that fun.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I met him in Rochelle, Georgia. In real cross country. But when I grew up, I was brought up in Jones County at Grays, Georgia. That was the county seat of Jones, Grays. Well, then I come down here to Rochelle. That's where I met Ben at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we married at.
Did you meet him at a party?
Uh-uh. Meet him at my house. And I'll tell you how that happened. He cut wood. I reckon cordwood. I don't know. But he was cutting wood, some kind of wood. Well, where they were cutting, it was beyond our house where we were living in. So he passed there. He'd have to pass there. Well, he had passed there a time or two. I don't know how many times. So one evening, he passed there, and he asked me. I stand on the porch, and he said, "Could I get a drink of water, please?" I told him, "Yes, just help yourself." So he went on there to the pump. He got his water. Yeah, he drank his water and he stood there a little while, talked a few minutes, and he went on. The next evening, he wanted another drink of water. So I wested him to the water. He got the water, drank his water. He says, Is your mother home? I said, no. I said, my mother don't live here. I said, my aunt lives here. He said, this is not your home. I said, yes, this is my home, but it's not my house. I said, I just live here with my aunt. That was that for that time. Well, next evening, he wanted another drink of water. Oh. I got to wondering why he don't want no water till he gets here. There ain't no pumps and nothing between here and there. My aunt broke out in a big glass. She said, it ain't all water. I said, well, what is it? She said, part of it, he wants to look at you. Well, I'd always be the one to go to the door and give him a dip or something, glass or something, to get his water. So he kept drinking water for a long time. He wanted to know, could he come out sometime and see me? I told him, yes, you can come out here any time. I said, you're welcome here. That was in January. I don't know the year, but I still remember the month. It was in January. So he come out to the house that Sunday. And he talked and sat around. Well, then every Sunday he would come out to our house. So finally he found out where we was working at, my boss man, he come out there and hired to the boss man. Well, then he seed me every day till December. And we was married in December.
January to December.
January to December. Lord, my aunt didn't tease me about that. She tell me sometimes she'd be, she was the sweetest old soul. She said, I told you it wasn't water.
Yeah. Well, how'd you get married, Mr.? Over there, where your aunt was?
Married at home. Preaching my pastor, the man who preached for us, he married me in Mama's house.
Mm-hmm. Granddaddy, though, loved to have a good time, didn't he?
Granddaddy loved the guts, but he liked it to run around. But I tell you, a violent fact that then, he would stay home all the season, farm season, and wait there on the farm until the crops commenced giving out there. Couldn't get light, they done gathered all the corn, and then house the sweet potatoes and whatever they had on the farm. Then he would leave and go somewhere to sawmills or something like that. Well, he'd stay 2 and 3 months.
Oh, yes.
Then, we didn't have no children then. He stayed 2 and 3 months. But one thing he would do at that time, before he went, he'd have plenty of groceries, plenty of wood, and he had a man he would get to cut my wood for me and help me get it in, and he would pay. And every month, every 2 weeks, he'd send me money till he come, and then he would bring some. Well, he'd come home. He may stay there about a month or not hardly. He'd be there 2 weeks. So he'd gone on back to this place where he was getting his money from. You know, he was a gambler. That's what he was when I thought he was a gambling man.
I bet he was a good one.
He was. He was a good one. That's the way he made his money. I asked him the other day, you know, then come out the crop wasn't much good. He ain't done no work. And I said, well, will you tell me this? Why you like to stay there? I said, is you gambling? He said, no, I ain't gambling. I said, well, how you get all the money to stay there? I just get all it. Well, that's a sure believe me down there gambling as I believe I'm sitting in this chair.
With cards?
Yes, uh-huh. That's what he gambled with, cards.
He just got it in his blood, Miss Daisy.
All through his bones, I think. And me and you and nobody else can't get it out. I heard a woman talking to him Sunday night. She said to him, said, Mr. Ben, so you take a fool's advice. Said, don't go back down there. Say, you stay home where we can take care of you and see at you.
What did he say?
He said, she said, is you gonna stay? He said, I don't think so. She said, "Well, you better stay." He said, "I don't see why." Well, everybody see why but him. Everybody. Mr. Fred was asking me about him yesterday morning. I had to go to the store yesterday morning, so he said, "Well, Daisy, how has been?" I said, "He's just the same." I said, "I don't see where he's getting like that." He said, "Why'd he go to the doctor?" I said, "He don't want to." I said, "We can't make him. We can't get him to go." I said, "He don't have a thing to keep him from going." I said, "Any of them children would lose a day if it took a day to get him to a doctor in camp." I said, "But he just will not go." I said, "We can't make him." He says, "Too bad." So I just hope Ben don't wait too late. I said, "Well, one thing about it." I said, "Nothing we can do about it." I said, "Mr. Fred, if it was now like it used to be, you call a doctor and he'd come to you." I said, "I'd have done had one there on." I said, "But you can't do that. You got to go to the doctor. The doctor puts you where he wants you to be." I said, "If you could call him like you used to." I said, "I'd have done had one." And he said, "Well, there's no use to think about that." I said, "Well, you can't help them think. You think everything, think about everything you can think about, and then you think about that. You just be wondering, Miss Mara, what could I do?"
Mm-hmm. David, you know, somewhere along the line, you see, you were sort of sensible. You're always sensible. Mm-hmm. But you know, not many people like that, I don't believe. Now, Granddaddy, you see, he just had that sporting blood, didn't he?
That's so.
And he worked, made a living, and all like that. But mm-hmm. He had that sporting blood. Mm-hmm. Now, you take Frances Presley. Mm-hmm. She loved to have a good time.
Loved to have a good time. But the way I know Frances liked to have a good time like this. Bunch of us get together and talk and have fun like that. She come to my house, I think. But as far as running around the parties and all this sport, I think the biggest sport was in it was Frances.
Oh.
Now Ben.
Now how you mean that? How you mean?
I'm just talking about her.
She was the biggest.
She made a living, but she made it at home. She never followed no seasons and things. Uh-huh. She made her season at home,
yeah.
Where she was at.
Well, now you said she was the biggest sport there.
Yeah, just like us get together and Frances get to telling her stories and thing and make all of us laugh.
Uh-huh.
And she laughed just as hard as us.
At her, them stories.
Yeah.
Now, what?
See, sometimes she'd be telling me, I said, "Frances," I said, "you could have not said that. Because you know it ain't so." She said, "Yes, it is. I wouldn't tell a lie, babe. That's the truth."
Now, what sort of stories, for instance, mm-hmm. would she tell?
Well, nothing but things she used to do and how she used to do.
Such
as? Mostly in her house and her husband and things and how they used to fight.
Oh, she talked about that?
Yes, she talked about it. Frances didn't have no secret, Mr. Mouse.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, how did they fight?
No, sir.
Now, the way she told it, how did they
it
fight?
It was funny, the way she told it.
The way she told it, it was funny.
Yeah.
You see, she said they fight. She said, "Sometimes I'd get knocked down, but I'd get up to be knocked down again."
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said, when we lived close to his mother, and she would hear him fussing and fighting, said, "She'd come. Oh, says he come running. So one morning, they was into it, and his mother come. She got to the gate. So she told, hollered to Francis Herman, said, hold her till I get there. I'll take care of her. Just hold her till I get there. That lady do tickle me to death. What's she doing running there telling her son to hold his wife? Francis said, she knocked him back up there somewhere in the corner. She was close to the stove. Said she got the frying pan on the stove. Said she went and stood in the door. Said, I want you to know he can't hold me. But if you come in this door, I'm going to hold you with this frying pan. Man, if I didn't laugh at that. Francis, I said, Francis, you could have not told that. Yes, it is,
and she just laughed.
Just laughed. It was fun. Well,
you can just see her with that frying pan.
Yeah. I remember to get back over here and see the old man got up.
We can take you back in just a minute. She, his mama took his side.
Yeah. But Francis said she didn't take it that morning.
Yeah.
She didn't come no by the gate. She said she'd have come in that door. I was going to beat the hell out of her with that frying pan. I said, can you hit hard enough with a frying pan to hurt? She said, it depends on the way you hit with it. So don't beat them with the bottom. Said, beat them with the top. And where the rim hit, you see, you leave the sign. I said, oh.
I never heard of her. I thought she's going to pick up a stick of stove wood.
She ripped and got the frying pan. I told her, said, you come in this door this morning, so be hell out you be frying pan.
And not with the back of it either.
So I said to him, when she turned, I said, Francis, I said, can you hit anybody hard enough with a frying pan to hurt them? She said, depends on how you hit them.
Yeah.
Said, don't beat them with the bottom. Beat them with the top. And every frying that edge hit, so you see, you leave a mark on it. I said, huh?
Well, now, what did Granddaddy say about that?
Granddaddy, well, he wouldn't hardly ever be with us.
But you told him.
When she was 10.
Yeah, you told him about it.
Who? Me and him. We'd have fun off of it. Now he's telling what Francis said.
Yeah.
He said, you see, she ought to have been my wife. I said, for what? He said, I'd have used that frying pan on her, I expect. I said, what side would you use? He said, I'd just use side. I said, Francis said a way to beat them with the top. And he would just fall out. Oh, that just tickled him. He says, I think Francis tells things she forgot just how it was. I said, well, anyway, she can tell it. I said, then she wasn't beating Joe with the pan. She's going to beat his mom. He said, well, the way I see it, his mom didn't have no business back. I said, that's the way Francis sees it, because that's why. She's going to take the top of that frying pan and beat her with it.
Oh my.
Now, you and Granddaddy you all just had big times all along, didn't you?
Oh, yes. And do you know, all these years, we ain't had no fights and fusses. We had one or two little run-ins, but my goodness, I see folks just fuss and fight all the time.
But you all had things to laugh about all the time.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We've been happy together all these years.
Yeah.
Just about. Well, now you see, when he was running around and having his fun and all that thing, I was home.
Yeah.
With my children.
Yeah, but now part of the time is the granddaddy, y'all had things to laugh about.
Mm-hmm.
But now he never was quite as sensible as you. Some people more.
Well,
sensible.
I hate to say it, Mr. Myers, but I don't think he was.
No, you know he wasn't.
He didn't seem to think about things.
So you thought you did the thinking like that?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the way fate.
But you know, he gives me credit for it.
Oh, does he?
He do.
Yeah.
You know, when I said that, it was a man to the house the other day, and he was talking. He said to me, "Uncle Ben, you're going to stay home now, ain't you?" He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I think the best place for you is here, where Aunt Daisy can take care of you." Said, "Do you know, as long as I knowed her, I knowed her to be a woman." So, you know, everybody don't know like Aunt Daisy knows. They don't even know how to do things. They can't think. So she is a thoughtful woman. He said to this man, he said, "I know that." This man said, "And the next thing about it, she's a good woman. Say, you down there in Fulton Mine, and she here taking care of everything. The business taking care of you too. Your insurance and things she paid." He said, "I bet if you was here and she was down there, you wouldn't think about it." He said, "I might not."
She
said,
"Yeah."
He said, "Well, I can tell you the best place for you is right here." I said to the man, I said, "You ain't said nothing." "He ain't. Just as soon as he gets strong enough, he's going on back."
Mm-hmm. Well, now, all these people that you know about, Miss Daisy, you see, James knows a lot of things, but mm-hmm. he ain't sensible like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And George Mitchell, you see, he never even growed up, did he?
That's right.
What is he, just act like a boy?
Just like a boy. Well, now, you take George Mitchell, is so much different in him and James. I'm talking about age. Now, I know George when he was like that, a boy.
Just a boy, yeah.
One thing wrong with George, he's raised wrong. Never been taught for no responsibility, nothing. Never been taught you're supposed to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
His mom, she's ruined. His sisters, they nurse him like a baby. Anything he do, or anything he done, is right. And then you say something to him, "Wow. Now you see, that's George. I tell you the truth, and you may not believe it, because it don't seem to be so. But right this morning, George will obey me before he will his mom."
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I can tell George anything about his neglecting, or what he ought to do, He ain't gonna say one word. He just listened.
Uh-huh.
I said, do you believe it? He said, yes, ma'am, I believe it. I said, well, why don't you do it?
Uh-huh.
He'll laugh. Well, now, he'll argue with his mom.
Uh-huh.
He'll argue with his sister. You get in word for word. You tend to your business, and I'll tend to mine. And I'm missing your business, and don't you miss mine. But he won't do me like that. You see, because if I'm going to tell him anything, I talk to him like uh-huh. he is a grown man.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's a way you can go to folks and you can talk to them and they'll listen at you. Then the way you can go and they ain't going to hear nothing you say.
That's right.
Next thing about it, it ain't no need of you going if they know too much about your wrongness. That makes them wonder. Why can you tell me so-and-so when you doing so-and-so and I know it and that's worse than what I'm doing?
That's right.
That's the way they speak, eh? But they don't know nothing about you. Nothing wrong, I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Every time they said you was in the clear, you was all right.